Exodus chapter 2 tonight. Exodus chapter 2, we'll begin our reading in verse number 11. This is our Old Testament book. We've preached through the book of Genesis. Now we just move right into the book of Exodus. We've preached all the way through chapter 2, verse 10. We pick up in verse number 11. Miss Brenda Sluss is having surgery this coming Wednesday. We're praying for her at the Eye Center. Other things going on this week. We're praying for folks. And so on. I know Brother and Mrs. Miller's, some of their children are having some surgery tomorrow. We're praying for them. We're praying for Miss Christy Rourke, supposed to give birth on Wednesday. A lot of things going on this week. So praise the Lord that He is available to hear our cries and hear our prayers. Praying for these that are having surgery. If you are having surgery or know somebody having surgery in the church, please let us know when it is, when they have to be there. Not what time the surgery is, but what time they have to be there, where they're going. Because we as a staff want to be there for them, pray for them. So if that's you, you make sure and put it in my hand today if you can before you leave. Okay? Exodus chapter number 2, verse number 11. It came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren, looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. He looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. He said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now I'm only going to get started with this message. God willing, we'll conclude it on Wednesday night, the Lord willing. And tonight I want to draw out a phrase in verse number 11. It's the phrase, when Moses was grown. When Moses was grown. And we preach on that subject tonight. We'll only get started. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. I pray that you'll help us now to understand these thoughts. Speak to our hearts. Challenge us from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue in our study of the book of Exodus, we have already seen how the Israelites were living in a very difficult and perilous time. As a matter of fact, Pharaoh was looking at them with an evil eye and was doing all he could to destroy them. Pharaoh had issued a decree for all Jewish baby boys to be cast into the river and drowned. However, one little baby boy's parents, we preached on his parents last Sunday morning, refused to kill their baby boy. His mother put him into an ark and placed him in the flags by the river's brink. Pharaoh's own daughter saw this ark and told her maid to go and fetch it. And when she opened the ark, the baby boy cried. He wept, and Pharaoh's daughter had compassion on him. The boy's sister asked Pharaoh's daughter if she wanted her to go and find a Hebrew woman that could nurse the child for her, and Pharaoh's daughter said yes. The baby boy's own mother was gotten, and Pharaoh's daughter paid her to nurse her own baby, whom she had helped to protect by believing in her God. The baby boy began to grow until he was big enough to go to the palace to be with Pharaoh's daughter. This baby boy was given the name Moses, and he was reared in the house of Pharaoh. The book of Acts speaks concerning this, and Acts 7, 21 and 22 says, and when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. Now, while we've already considered Moses as a baby, specifically his parents of faith, now we turn our attention in our text. He is now a grown man. In Acts chapter 7, verse 23, that verse tells us that at this time that he's going to kill this Egyptian, that Moses was 40 years old at this time. He's a 40-year-old man when the events of what I'm beginning to preach on tonight is taking place. Now, it's the thought of when Moses was grown that I want to focus on. These principles that I'm going to be bringing out in tonight's service and Wednesday night, God willing, obviously apply to those who are grown. Now let me say this to you as well. As we speak on these principles, it didn't happen when he was a child or a teenager. It happened when he was a grown man. However, if you are a child or a teen, these principles are for you as well. We all need to pick it up whether we're grown or not. And contrary to what you might believe, I am a grown man, okay? Now, with this being the case, let me just give you an overview. I saw some of you looking at other people, just kind of making a smirk. One of them was Brother Gary Seaman right there. I saw that, Brother Gary. I don't know who you're looking at, but whoever it is, well, whatever, I'm just kidding with you. Let's look at an overview of these verses. An overview of these verses, we see several things that take place. This is all introduction, because I'm just going to give you some thoughts, some principles to put into your knapsack, if you will, and bring them out when you need them. But before we get to those, only one tonight, let me give you an overview. First of all, in verse 11, we see Moses seeing his brethren's mistreatment. In verse number 11 and 12, we see him slaying an Egyptian. In verses 13 and 14, we see him suffering rejection by his own people. Verse 15, we see him skipping town for fear of Pharaoh. Verse 15, we see him sitting by a well in the land of Midian. Verses 16 and 17, we see him standing up to help some ladies water their flock. And verse number 18 through 22, we see him satisfied to stay in the land of Midian. Now that's an overview of these verses. But now I want to dig in and bring out some principles, and I want you to ask the Lord to speak to your heart. This first principle I'm going to bring out comes out in verses 11 to 15. When Moses was grown, number one, he tried to do God's will his own way. Let me say it again. When Moses was grown, first of all, he tried to do God's will his own way. Now, we read these verses. I'm not going to read it again. It's verses 11 through 15. So as I explain this, if you want to read those again, you can do that. On this particular day, the Bible says Moses went out unto his brethren and he looked on their burdens. Now, while he looked on their burdens, he saw an Egyptian smiting one of his people, beating the daylights out of another Jew. The Bible says this. The Bible says Moses looked this way and that way. That's what it says. He looked around to make sure nobody saw him, and when he thought he saw nobody, he killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. Now, it's interesting that after he did this, on the second day, the Bible says he went back out. And when he went back out, today, this particular day, he saw two Jewish brethren striving together. So Moses stepped in again, not between an Egyptian and a Jew, but now between a Jew and a Jew. And he asked the one, the Bible says, who did the wrong, "Why are you hitting your brother?" And this man, now get this. This man said, "Who died and made you king? Who in the world made you the prince over us?" Question, was he going to be the prince over the Israelites? Yes or no? Yes, but not when he was 40. Stay with me. Before we get to the major thought here, that he tried to do God's will, his own way, before we get to that, let us consider something about Moses. What he was trying to do was a good thing. For instance, when he had compassion on his own people and he considered the burdens of his own people, friends, that was a good thing. It wasn't good that he killed an Egyptian, but it was good that he left the palace to be united with his own people and he saw their burdens. He had compassion on his people. That's a good thing. It's a good thing to see the burdens of God's people. It's not a bad thing to see a child of God suffer and you suffer with them. That's a good thing. May I say this to you? It was a good thing that even though Moses was in a high position in the palace, he didn't forget about God's people. Along with this, we see Moses trying to settle a dispute between two Jewish brethren. Are you listening to me? That was a good thing. It's a good thing to try to help two believers, two of God's people. Not that these Jews were believers, but they were God's people, you understand. It's a good thing whenever God's children are bickering for somebody to try to step in and settle. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. What he's trying to do was good. However, we see that even though the actions he took were good, that what he did was bad at that time. Stay with me here. The man in the wrong said this. He said, who made thee a judge over us? I've already said what that means. In today's vernacular, he's saying, who died and left you in charge? That's what he's asking. Then this man asked Moses if he intended to kill him, and like he did the Egyptian. And the Bible says at that moment, Moses got afraid. He was fearful because he knew that killing the Egyptian was known. Pharaoh found out about it, and Pharaoh's trying to kill Moses. And the Bible says, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. Now, somebody might be asking tonight, what happened here? Why was Moses rejected here? What was the problem? The answer is one we can all learn from. And what the answer is Moses got ahead of God's timing. Get this, he tried to do it his own way. He tried to force himself into the position that God had for him. He tried to use his own strength to deliver the Israelites. Get this, he was trying to do the will of God his own way. Let me explain. In Acts chapter 7, verses 23 to 25, the Bible says, talking about Moses, and when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart, underline it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended them and avenged them that was oppressed, get this, and smote the Egyptian. Now listen closely, for he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. You know what that tells me? That tells me that at 40 years old, somehow, some way, God told Moses, you are the deliverer. You are the one I've chosen to take my people out of Egypt. And he thought that the whole Israelites would bow down at his feet. He thought that he, whenever he saw an Egyptian, that he would just in his own might show the Israelites his strength, his might. He's somebody big, so he took care of that. He's trying to assume control. He's trying to take over the Israelites. He's trying to put himself in position. It was not God's timing, friends. It was not the right time. I'm telling you that what I'm saying is Moses knew God would use him to deliver the Israelites from bondage, and he supposed his brethren knew it too. But get this, before Moses even ever come on the scene, God told Abraham that the Israelites would be in the land of Egypt for so many years, and those years had not expired yet. God said it'll be so many years, and Moses is 40 years early. And he's trying to push himself. He's trying to show he can do it. He's trying to show he's got the strength. He's doing God's will his own way. His own time. His own strength. And he's going to learn a lesson here. In other words, it wasn't yet time for God to deliver the Israelites because they weren't ready to be delivered. This man shows you that. I mean, he's bickering with the man who avenged one of his own brethren. God knew that, but Moses tried to push it. Moses got ahead of God's timing. Just the simple fact that he felt he had to look this way and that way should have told him something was wrong. When you're doing something for God and you know it, you don't care what anybody thinks about you, friends. You listening to me? So anytime he said, I better look this way, I better look around. Hey, when he started doing that, something should have started going off. Something's not right. Something's just not right here. Matter of fact, one person put it this way, whenever we look around to shun a mortal's frown or catch his smile, we may rest assured there's something wrong. We're off the proper ground of divine service. See, Moses looked this way and that way, but it never says he looked up. There is never given a record here that he prayed about this, because he didn't. He took the law into his own hands. Get this, he loved his brethren. That's a good thing. He was chosen by God to deliver them. That's a good thing. But he went about doing it the wrong way. He tried to force it. Matter of fact, in the book of Acts, I told you to underline it. If you ever go there, the Bible says it came into his heart, not God's heart. It came into his heart to go out and visit his brethren. It never says God sent him. And it never said it came into God's heart, so he sent Moses. It doesn't say that. It simply says it came into his heart. See, Moses' compassion was good, but his actions were not. It was God, now get this, it was the will of God to free the Israelites. Amen or not, friends? That's the will of God. But in his time and in his way. Not Moses' time and not Moses' way. Let us learn the lesson that God's will must be done God's way. When an individual tries to do the will of God his own way, he or she are going to mess things up. We cannot do God's will in our own time. You cannot do God's will in your own strength. It must be done in God's time, in God's strength. One person put it this way, if our plans are not God's plan, no matter how good they may seem, they will cause heartache, despair, and failure. Somebody else put it this way, you cannot sow a fleshly seed and reap a spiritual plant. Spiritual ends are never achieved by carnal means. Did you hear what I just said? Listen to me. It's been said. And Moses is getting ready to go to school. God's going to put him on the backside of the desert and he's going to make out of him what he wants him to be. Somebody said that Moses in Pharaoh's house learned that he was somebody. But God's going to put him in the desert so he realizes he's a nobody. So that he learns to rest on the somebody that can give him the strength to fulfill what God's told him to do. You know what we need? We need God every now and then, excuse me, to pull the rug out from under us. We need God every now and then whenever we think we can do this in our own strength, our own timing. Hey, it can be good things, it can be godly things, but if you go about it in your time and you're not patient and you don't wait for an open door from God, it could be a good thing, but you'll make it a bad thing. Now, only the Holy Spirit of God can help us learn when to wait, when to go forward. Everybody understands that. That's why it's important that we walk with God, because one of the hardest things to understand sometimes is what is the right timing. Yeah, I mean, is this the time to go forward? You know what I've learned? I've learned to put the need out there and sit back and watch God work. And if God is in it, God will bring it to pass. We need to make sure that we're crossing all of our T's, dotting all of our I's, but we do not need to take a square peg and try to jam it into a circle. And we don't need to try to take a circle and jam it into a square peg. God can open the door to the point where you see, now's the time. God can do that. Moses got ahead of God. Now what I'm saying to you, we can all learn this. Matter of fact, hold your place here. Well, you don't have to because, I mean, you can if you want. But flip with me to 1 Samuel chapter 13. Just talking about doing a good thing in a wrong way. Doing God's will in your own way. In 1 Samuel chapter number 13, we're going to read verses 1 to 14 and notice what happens. 1 Samuel chapter 13, just thinking about this thought of doing God's will your way. Let me say this, God's will cannot be done in our way. If we try to do the will of God our way, in our timing, in our strength, we're going to fall flat on our face. Flat on our face. Now, look at 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 1. Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel. Whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan. And 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also had an abomination with the Philistines. The people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. The Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, people as the sand, which is on the seashore in multitude. They came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward from Beth-Aven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, and the people did hide themselves in caves, thickets, and rocks, high places, and pits. Some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. So there's a need here. They're afraid. They're following Saul, but they're afraid. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. Came to pass that as soon as he had made an offering, as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. In other words, my world was crashing in. It was pressuring on me. Verse 12, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be a captain over his people. Because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Question, is it a good thing to pray? Amen. Is it a good thing to sacrifice to God? Yes. But in the Old Testament, that was not Saul's job. That was Samuel's. And Saul said this, when I saw all these circumstances coming around me, and when I saw the pressure building up, I just had to do something. I couldn't just sit there and do nothing. I realized I've not even made supplication to God. So he got an offering, something that he was not made to do. It was not in the will of God for him. Hey, he was doing a good thing. What I mean by that is he was trying to make supplication before God. That's a good thing. But he did it his own way. He did it his way, his timing, and God cursed him for it. You listening to me? If there's something breathing down your neck, be careful not to get ahead of God. Be careful that you don't take matters in your own hands and say, I just can't sit around and do nothing. I know God wants me to wait here, but surely I've got to do something. I've got to do. See, that's the old flesh thinking that God's not big enough. He needs a little bit of help from me. He's doing it his way. God's will must be done God's way, in God's strength, in God's timing. Considering the need to wait for God's timing and to wait and depend on God's strength, let's apply this. First of all, let's talk about God's timing. Let us understand, as one person put, one blow struck when the time is right is worth 1,000 struck in premature eagerness. Remember the story of the walls of Jericho falling down flat? In Joshua chapter number 6, here's what God told the Israelites. He said, this mighty city of Jericho, here's what I want you to do. I want you to line up and I want you to march around at one time for 6 days. On the seventh day, I want you not to march around at one time. I want you to march around at 7 times. And after the seventh time, I want you to blow with the trumpets and the walls going to fall down flat. Listen to me closely. Was it God's will for the walls to fall down? Absolutely. But he set the timetable. If the Israelites walked around on the first day and blew the trumpets and expected the walls to fall, nothing would have happened. Second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, on the seventh day, maybe they got tired. And maybe they're walking around 5 times. Can't you just hear some independent Baptist just grumbling? Can't you just hear them? Good night, Joshua. Hey, I thought, hey, the heat's too hot up here. Everything, we know God's going to do it. Let's just stop on the 4th time around. And if they had of and blown the trumpet, nothing would have happened. If the walls were going to fall, they must do it God's way. And they must do it in God's timing. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. The Bible says in Isaiah 50 verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Did you hear what that says? Let me read that again. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? I believe you'd raise your hand to that. I fear the Lord. Who is among you that obeyeth the voice of his servant? I believe you'd raise your hand to that. But who is among you that hath darkness and hath no light? I'm talking about there are times in life when it seems awful dark, doesn't it? There are times in life when it seems like God has turned the lights out. It could be a family sickness. It could be a family trial. I don't know what it is. But the Bible says, who is among you that feareth the Lord? Who's among you who's obeying the voice of his servant? In other words, who's among you that wants to do right? Yet who's among you that has darkness and there's no light? Here's what it says. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Stay upon his God. He's saying this. Listen, when the lights go out, just trust God. Be patient. Stay on him. Don't run away from him. Stay with him. This is what Moses did not do. Moses is trying to force himself. Psalm 37:7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. See, we're learning from this that Moses, when he was grown, he tried to do the will of God his own way, and he's learning that you can't do that. You can't do that. He knew that God had chosen him, but he tried to force it. He didn't wait on God. He didn't trust God in this. He just thought that since he knew it, surely everybody else did. And he's learning a great lesson to learn. God's going to put him on the backside of the desert. And one of the next times we meet, I'm talking about after this sermon and after this text, you're going to see this dear man, he's saying, God, I can't do it. I can't do this. Could it be that's why God put him on the backside of the desert? Because see, friends, once Moses killed that Egyptian, if the Israelites started saying, oh, he's the deliverer. Could it be that God knew that Moses would rejoice in his strength? When God says this, my glory I will share with no man. And if I have to put Moses on the backside of the desert for 40 years, I will. Considering the need to do it in the power of God. Because what he's doing, he's relying on his own strength. And he's relying on his own timing. We've already looked at the timing. Now let's look at the power of God over the energy of the flesh. One person put it this way, true strength originates in recognizing one's weakness. Another person said this, did that cruel taskmaster need to be punished? Yes or no? Yes, he did. Was it wrong to beat that Hebrew as he did? Certainly. But when Moses stepped in and began his own operation deliverance, he was energized by the flesh, not by the spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says this, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Zechariah 4:6 says this, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. One person put it this way, goals not bathed in prayer or brought in humility before the Lord turn out to be downright useless. They don't go anywhere. They don't accomplish anything. They generate heat but no light. And you're left with confusion and defeat. Just like Moses here. He thought, he supposed, Acts chapter 7, he supposed that all the Israelites knew who he was. And when he tried to force himself, they rejected him. It threw him for a whirlwind. He's now afraid, I'm going to die, I got to get out of town. What in the world is going on? What is going on is he didn't pray about those decisions. He got ahead of God in that decision. He's trying to do a good thing, but in the wrong time and in the wrong person's strength. But this person goes on to say, but when you trust the Lord God to give you the next step, when you wait in humility upon him, he will open the doors or close them. And you'll get to rest and relax until he says, go. Now, let me say this again. What I'm preaching here, this is the first principle. There's two more in this text. God willing, we'll give you those two on Wednesday night.
But this first principle that I'm getting across tonight is a principle that really I cannot explain it the way the Holy Spirit needs to apply it. What I mean by that is this. I cannot look at you. Let's just take Brother and Miss Pendleton here. They can come to me all day long and say, when's the right time for me to do this? I can't tell them that. Because I'm a human being just like they are. What I can tell them is when you have God's peace about it, that's the time. But let me say this to you. This is why your daily walk with God is so vitally important. You need to be on a ground with God where you can hear His voice speaking to you. And all I can tell you is this, by experience, if you will. I'm not thinking of anything specific or anything like that. One thing I can say specific was my leaving baseball and going into the ministry at Crown College. I cannot tell you that is what told me it was the timing. All I can tell you is this, I knew in my heart God was telling me to do it. I knew it. And all I'm saying to you is this, if you don't have that where you say, I know God's telling me to do this, you better wait. You better wait. Now, unless it's something in His Word, you understand? If it's something in His Word that He's told you to do, like tithing, well, I don't have peace about that. I guess I better pray about it. No, because the will of God is in the Word of God. What I'm talking about are open doors, closed doors. I'm talking about stuff you don't have chapter and verse for. Everybody understand what I'm saying to you? You can't turn to a chapter and verse and say, thou shalt do this or thou shalt not do that. You better do that or you better not do that. I'm just telling you this. If you don't have God's peace, I haven't done this in a while. I'll do this so you can see me. What am I saying? I'm saying wait on God. Wait on Him. And if it's of Him, He will tell you, this is me. If you don't have it, and you're unsure, you better stay put until you know for sure. You know when preachers get in trouble? When they get ahead of God. You know what this dear man of God's taught me? He's taught me a lot. By the way, some of the things I quoted were your stuff. Amen. I'm studying the book of Exodus along with Mrs. Lashley. She taught through this years ago, and she's helping me understand it. But one thing this dear man of God's taught me is, Jody, when you don't know what to do, don't do anything. Be still. Be still. I would rather be late doing something right than 1 second early doing something right. Only the Holy Spirit can apply this, and I trust He's doing that. Are you ahead of God? Are you trying to do it in your timing? Are you trying to push yourself? Are you trying to force yourself? Is it a good thing that you're trying to, I'm going to do it because God has said it? You do that and you might wreck and destroy lives along the way. What am I saying? I'm saying this. We saw a great example of the timing of God for this service tonight. I never even thought about Thomas Thien being from the same culture as these international students who are coming. But God brought him here on the weekend that, to my knowledge, it's at least one of the highest days we've had of international students coming. There's 20-some of them over there tonight, 20-some of them. And the same weekend that he's here? What am I saying? I'm saying we knew that going after these international students was the will of God. And we're going forward, but we're not trying to press it. God, open this door. Give us favor. Would you please just seal this? You know what he's doing tonight? Glory. He said, that's of me. That's something I want you to do. And I'll prove it to you. I don't know how God's using this, but I know this, we all have a tendency to get impatient. Let us be patient and wait on God. This is the first principle from this chapter, these verses. We got two more to go. I don't think you'll be here to hear that. Let's ask God to help us not do His will our way, but do His will His way. His timing, His strength. You got it? That's principle number one. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love You. Thank You for this service. And I pray that You'll help us to understand this principle. Help us to really grasp it. Help us to get it. Help us to understand what You're saying. Now, your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. I never want to take for granted anybody's salvation. So when they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. But let me ask you some questions. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Hey, there's one thing you don't have to wait on, and that's trusting Christ as your Savior. Has there been a time where you've trusted Christ? Has there been a time where you've accepted the Lord as your Savior? Has there been a time where you've asked Jesus to come into your heart, forgive your sin? If not, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel story. Please, let us introduce you to Jesus Christ. I'm asking, do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? And if not, you can before you leave. Or maybe tonight God is speaking to you. Because there's an area in your life that you know is God's will. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's something that God could be pleased with. But maybe God is speaking to you about, hey, you just need to put the brakes on. You need to sit back and trust Me and rest in Me. Have you say, Jody, when you're preaching this message on this principle of waiting on God and relying on His strength, not trying to force anything, not trying to push anything, hey, being active, not talking about being lazy, I'm talking about going forward but making sure that God's in every step you take. Have you say, God is really using this in my life about a specific area? Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Be honest. God's really using this thought about a specific area. God bless you. God bless you. What is my advice to you? My advice is this. I cannot tell you this is the right timing. This is the right place. I can't do that, but I can point you to somebody who can. He's the one that's put it on your heart, you see. But He's made it in such a way that when it goes through, nobody's going to say, look what we did. But everybody's going to say, look what God did. You see what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Just like this situation tonight, with Thomas Tien being here on these grounds, and it never crossing my mind until I get here in the service, never crossing my mind until Andy Krause comes and sees me and says, Pastor Jody, you want to see a blessing? I said, absolutely. He said, look in here. He said, there's 20-some international students, and this Burmese national pastor, He's hitting it off with them. They like him. He's already witnessing to him in there. He's already telling them about Christ in there. And I just think to myself, we didn't even know what we were doing. But God used it anyway. And God put His seal of approval. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you about this. Maybe you want to come and say, God, help me to be patient. Help me to know when it is right to move forward. Why don't you come and talk to the Lord about it? Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it, I pray, please, in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If God's using this, as Brother Gary sings, leave your place and come. Would you do it? You say, God, I want to do Your will, but I also want to do it Your way. I don't want to do God's will my way. I want to do God's will, God's way. In God's timing, in God's strength. This is a principle. Folks are praying. There's a certain situation in my own life, pastoring this church, that recently God has just put His stamp of approval on this principle. There's something I didn't really know what to do. And God laid on my heart, just wait. Just wait. And God worked it out. He took care of it. He's taught me a great lesson. You wait on God when you don't know what else to do. Now again, I'm not talking about if you have clear command of Scripture. You go forward, and that's disobedience in that. I'm talking about things that you just, yeah, honestly, you can throw your hands up and say, God, I don't know. I mean, do you want me to do this? Do you not? I mean, is this a ministry you want me to start? Is this the ministry you want us to start? And I mean, what do we do about that? What do we do about here? And I don't know what to do here. If I don't know what to do, I don't do anything. I stay put. I rest. And say, God, you see it. You understand it. You see it. Would you make it obvious? Would you show this old country boy that, hey, you have to almost slap him upside the head before he's going to do it? Would you slap me upside the head? You know what I've learned? Many times you'll say this, I'm not going to slap you upside the head because I don't want you to do it anyway. I'll take care of it. That's just how he is. We mess things up when we think we have to go ahead and do it just because it just makes sense. We don't have peace, but it just makes sense. I mean, surely God, let me just go ahead and do this and hope God's in it. You better hope God's in it. Because if not, you may end up in the backside of the desert for 40 years until God teaches you that lesson. I don't want him to put me on the backside of the desert for 40 years. But I know this. What Moses thought God was going to do when he was 40, God really wasn't going to do it until he was 80. And he's going to teach Moses all along the way. It's not you, boy, it's me. You got it? Amen? Hope you see it. I believe we have Brother Thomas, I think, out in the lobby out there. I think so. I saw Brother David Morrison. Since I saw him, he's leading that ministry. I believe he'll be out there. I'd like for you to meet him. If some of you are having surgeries, things this week that's going on, please put a note in my hand to help me out. Again, not what time the procedure is, but what time you have to be there and where you have to go. And we'll do our best to be there for you. Okay? Very good. I'm going to ask Brother Levi Mullen, sir, if